thing. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4. And when you get there, if you'd stand out of respect for God's Word, if you're able. I would like to say this about the teen activity as well. Coming up, we're selling tickets for it. You don't want to miss it. We're playing soap dodgeball. Now, I'm not throwing bricks of soap, but we put soap all over tarps and they get to play dodgeball on that. We're selling tickets. And if you have a problem, parents, getting your kids to take a bath, they get a free bath while they're there. So, you know, it's a double perk, so make sure they get to be there. It's Genesis chapter number 4. Are you there this morning? All right. Verse number 7 is where we're going to be reading from today. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 7. And it says there, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and under thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Let's pray. We'll have the special and the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day you've given us, Lord, and I thank you for this opportunity, dear God. You've allowed us to be in church, Lord. Lord, I pray for us as we get ready to listen to the special music and the preaching, Lord, that you prick our hearts where we need pricking, Lord, where you convict us where we need convicting, Lord. Lord, I pray for the special music, Lord, that you'd fill it and empower it, Lord. I pray for Brother Kavanaugh as he gets ready to preach. God, I just pray that you'd fill him with your power, Lord. Fill him with your might. Lord, give him the words you'd have him to say. Lord, and dear God, if there's somebody here this morning under the sound of this building, Lord, that doesn't know for sure that heaven is their home, I pray that, Lord, that you wouldn't let them leave that way today, but get that settled. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for everything you've done. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Mrs. Malinak. I enjoyed that. Now for the preaching of God's Word. I went to school with Evangelist Kavanaugh. I'm looking forward to hearing him this morning. And a young man, I say young man, he's a little bit older than me. I guess we're still young, though. I don't know how we view that. We'll always be young, amen? But has a heart for God, and I appreciate that about him, a great testimony. And I hope you'll open up your hearts, open up your ears for what God has for us today through our evangelist, and we'll have him come at this time. Let's give him a Bible Baptist welcome this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it. It is a privilege to be here this morning for sure, and I thank Pastor for the invitation to come and not only speak today, but also to the young people in the school. And we're looking forward to what God has, not only today, but the next few days. And thank you again, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here. The wonderful room down there and the upgrades. Can I mention the upgrades from the pulpit? Is that all right? Last time we were here, there wasn't a toilet in the bathroom, and when we walked, good, my wife's not here, she'll probably be embarrassed. Did her number flash up on the screen, number 9? That's the naughty number there. My kids are terrorizing the nursery, that's what that means. Well, we walked in there last night, and we had stayed there once before, maybe a year ago, and there was a toilet in there, and I said, wow, praise the Lord. That's an upgrade, and I don't know, it was an awkward moment this morning when I came up and I said, man, Pastor, thank you for the toilet, and he was just like, but anyway, it is a joy to be here, and we thank God for the opportunity. As he mentioned earlier, my wife Leah is here and our two boys in the nursery. Genesis chapter 4, if you would, in your Bibles, and we're going to look down through this passage, Genesis chapter 4, and I'll start in verse number 1 so you can get a little idea of the context here that we've read of our text verse number 7. But we'll start in verse number 1 and read down through here. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened up her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And our text verse, once again, verse number 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. I'd like to, for a few moments, preach a message entitled, Learning to Do Well. Father, let's pray. Lord, we are sure grateful to be in your house this morning. What a wonderful privilege it is to gather here as the family of God and to look into your book. What a privilege it is to hold this book in our hands, to know the truth and to know that that truth makes us free. God, I pray that you would bless these few moments that we have. I pray that you would clear my thoughts. May I only speak the words that you would have me to say, and may they be filled and led by your Holy Spirit. God, and we'll give you all the praise and the honor and glory for it. May you have your will and way in each and every heart and life in this place today, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Accepted. For sure, I think it's a desire that each and every one of us have. The desire to be accepted. Nobody likes rejection, do they? No, nobody likes rejection, and for sure in this day and age, some people, they wake up each and every day just living to be accepted. Maybe they act, or they're, for sure on social media, come on, we're snapping pictures, and we're of every event and circumstance that takes place in our life, because we just want someone to comment on it, to accept it, to pat us on the back for what we're doing. We want to be accepted. And sadly, for most, it's not the desire to be accepted by God. It's the desire to be accepted by friends, by family, by organizations, by even gangs, and as we mentioned, by social media. And that desire to be accepted, boy, it's destroyed marriages. It's destroyed homes. It's destroyed families. It's destroyed young people. It's destroyed churches. The desire to be accepted. I think of that one parent not too long ago who was a single parent dating this man and had a couple kids. And boy, the man did not accept those young kids at all that she had. And they were her kids. But because she wanted to be accepted by that man, she strapped those two young kids in the back of her car seat and pushed it into a lake. Simply because she wanted to be accepted. It causes young boys all across the country to get their bodies mutilated with piercings and tattoos because they have the desire to be accepted. That's all they're looking for. When you see young people up and down the street today dressed like thugs and covered in these outfits that are just attracting attention, they're just looking for acceptance. They're just looking for someone to acknowledge them. And they get the tattoos and the piercings and they're just desiring to be accepted. It causes many, many young ladies, 12 to 16 years old, who get on this thing of social media and meet up with some man that accepts them on that social media, and they sneak out of the house only to be end up raped and murdered. It caused the young boy not too long ago in Baltimore, Maryland, that had a desire to be accepted into a gang, and to fulfill that desire of acceptance, he planned and executed the rape and murder of a 14-year-old girl just for acceptance. We see here in our story how Cain killed Abel, his own brother, because he was not accepted. And listen, just by way of introduction this morning, the moment we start looking for acceptance of people rather than the acceptance of God, we are destined for destruction. The moment we start looking for acceptance from people rather than the acceptance from God, we are destined for destruction. And if we head down that road, If we head down that path for acceptance of people, there's no limits. There's no boundaries. If it, the world's philosophy in my, if it feels good, do it. And there's nothing, if you want to head down that road, there's nothing you won't do and there's nothing you won't say. And you say, oh, how is that possible? How was it possible for Cain to kill his own brother? He was rejected. And it's a promise, listen, it's a promise from God that if we will do well, we will be accepted. And the acceptance, listen, the acceptance that God gives us far surpasses the satisfaction that the world claims to give you when they accept you. Notice there in verse number 3, we'll see an interesting statement there. It says, and in the process of time. Now, this process of time is something that we all go through. It really, it's a growing stage, but in the process of time, we'll bring many offerings to God. And just as Cain and Abel, through the process of time, they came of age to bring an offering to God, so too will we in the process of time. Many decisions will be made. Many offerings will be brought to God. And I'd like to, just for a few moments, look in three areas, by no means an exhaustive study of these three areas, but three areas that we must learn to do well in. Three areas that we must learn to do well in. First of all is the area of salvation. The area of salvation by grace through faith. I love what the songs what we sang this morning as I was looking at the program. The first one, Be Thou Exalted. What a wonderful song, talking about our Savior. Be thou exalted. And then as you go down, redeemed. Amen. Redeemed. And boy, oh, what a wonderful Sunday school lesson we had this morning. I don't know if that was the curriculum for all the classes, but if you miss Sunday school, you missed out. That's right. And by the way, you miss out anytime you miss a service in the house of God. Right. You never know what God and what way God might speak to you in the house of God. But the song we sang, redeemed, redeemed. Boy, are you happy you're redeemed today? I sure am excited that I know without a doubt that when I die, and if God doesn't come back, we all will die. But I know I'm redeemed. One day I'll see Jesus. Because song number 228, He hideth my soul. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Listen, no one's going to take my soul away from Jesus. He hideth my soul. And then we sang, only trust Him. Only trust Him. Listen, an area that we must do well in is this area of salvation, because it doesn't matter. Listen, there's nothing you can bring to God for your salvation. There's no offering that you can bring to God that He will accept except for trusting in Him. Putting your complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And for sure in this day and age, and many churches are gathering this morning and telling folks, hey, well, this is what you have to do. You have to put your offering in the offering plate. Yep. This is what you have to do. You have to drink some of the holy water. You have to go to confession. You have to pray 3 Hail Marys. And no. There are no offerings that you can bring to God in and of yourself that will pay for salvation. It's by Jesus Christ alone. And listen, if you try to bring anything else, it will not be accepted. Rejection. It will be rejected. An area we must do well in is this area of salvation by grace through faith. I love the verse, Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude, the Bible says, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There's nothing we can do for salvation. It's by faith alone. Listen, that's the conclusion. If you think that one day when you die that you will stand before God and offer up a list of the good deeds that you've completed on this earth, He will not accept them. It must be our faith in Jesus Christ alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I marked a couple songs, not with a Sharpie, Pastor. I just did it with a piece of paper. I marked a few songs in the hymn book this morning. Just flipping through early this morning in the back there. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. It's hymn 407. There have been names that I love to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine as the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same as that lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. You know why that name's so sweet? Because He paid our sin debt. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ coming to this earth and shedding His blood on that cross and dying, and not only dying, but rising from the grave today, as we heard in Sunday school, hey, a dead Jesus can't save anybody. But our Savior arose. The name of Jesus, hey, that's the only name by which you can be saved. Any other offering you try to bring to God will be met with rejection. Well, Brother Pete, that's so narrow-minded. That's strict. There's rules. Now, listen. Our God is a God of rules. He gave us His Word. Come on now, you think you just let any stranger kick your door down and come into your house on this earth? Why do you think you'll do that with heaven one day? Why do you think you're going to show up to the gates of heaven and just kick it in by your own strength and your own deeds and say, "Here I am, Jesus, thanks"? It's not going to happen. It's not. Hey, on this earth, we wouldn't let someone break into our house and steal and just take up residence there. No. But we, when it comes to God and the way to be saved, we say, "Oh, well, no, I'll just keep trusting in my own thing. I'll just keep doing it my way." No, you won't. He will not accept that offering. Amen. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Number 27, I believe it is. It says, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Listen, friend, this morning, the only acceptable offering that you can bring is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's it. Hey, can I ask you this morning, as we sung earlier today, hymn number 40, are you washed in the blood? Are you washed in the blood? Not washed in your works, not washed in your deeds, not washed in an organization, not washed by your family or friends. Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? Because that is the only acceptable offering for salvation. Salvation by grace through faith. Acceptable, learning to do well. Not only in the area of salvation, boy, that's a great first step, and I hope and pray that each and every one of us have come to Jesus Christ by grace through faith. But another area we need to do well in this morning is our area of service to God. Amen. We must do well in this area of salvation for sure, but we also must do well in this area of service to God. And in our passage we read this morning how Cain did what he wanted to do, but not what God wanted him to do. You see, some of us will acknowledge God. We know enough that we must trust in Him for our salvation, and that's the only way to be saved. But when it comes to this thing of service, we think that we can do what we want to do, and He'll still accept it. No. If we are to serve God, we must serve Him His way. The way that He tells us to, not the way we want to. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In this area of service to God, He will not accept the service you submit your way. It will be rejected. If you are to serve God, you must serve Him His way. in the process of time. Now, listen, we weren't all saved at the same time. Different ages, different stages. And I'm not putting everybody up here, but again, that line in verse number 3, in the process of time. What happens over the process of time? We grow.
Yes, sir.
We grow. Come on, every one of us, sadly, we're growing older. And we're still young, as was mentioned earlier, but in the process of time, we grow older.
Right.
And with age and with time comes experience. And for sure, the longer you're saved and in the Word of God, the more wisdom you get from God's Word, if you spend time in it. And in the process of time, we must grow up. We must grow up and learn how to serve God His way. Because that process, listen, it happens to each and every one of us. If you're saved a month, if you're saved a year, if you're saved 10 years, you ought not to be acting the same as when you first got saved. Listen, if my 2-year-old son now starts acting like my 5-year-old son, something's wrong. Because he's not 5. He's 2. And when he's, not 5 years, that is 5 months. I just confused myself. Hey, when he's 5 years old and potty trained, Lord willing, he shouldn't need diapers. Why? Because he's growing. He's growing. And listen, if you're not growing, and what happens with the young children when we look at them and, well, maybe they're not growing right or not developing. They're, you know, there's certain stages. Oh, he should be talking by now. He should be crawling by now. You know, we think, well what's wrong? I better take him to a doctor. I better get... Come on, this is serious. Hey, listen, if you're not growing spiritually, something's wrong. If you're not learning what God has for you and the way that we are to serve Him, something's wrong. Just like having a 5-, 6-, 7-year-old in diapers, it's just as silly when we have born-again Christians, 10, 15, 20 years old in spiritual diapers. It's a mess. It's a mess. And it's not, listen, the pastor's not here to change your diaper. Grow up. Learn what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, how awesome would it be if we gathered here every Sunday morning and we, not waiting for the preacher to get up here to get us right with God, we came in right with God because we were learning what is that good and acceptable. Listen, this isn't the only place that you can hear from God's Word. We have the book. This book is just as powerful from this pulpit as it is on your lap each and every morning. Just as powerful. And in this book, it'll teach us the ways that we are to serve God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Hey, this area of service, it's about being accepted by God. If you're coming out in your own flesh, hey, listen, you can do a lot of good in your own flesh, but God doesn't accept that. It's got to be the right way. It's got to be His way. It's got to be when He wants it done, how He wants it done, not our way. In this area of service to God, we must grow. Hebrews 5:12 says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." They're going backwards in that passage. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers." So what's the natural stage of things? We're born, we get to the age where we go to whatever it is, kindergarten, and then we go to grade school, and we graduate high school, and maybe we go through college. And but after college, you don't go back to first grade. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers." We ought to be growing. Hey, listen, you're saved, you're baptized, you're born again. It's time to serve God. It's time to serve Him His way. Maybe you should be a teacher. But listen, not just in the area of Sunday school teachers, and there's plenty of opportunities to serve God as we grow. Hey, are you still on milk? Are you still on the bottle? We need to grow up. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Boy, I love that last line, Pastor. By reason of use. Do you know why you're still on milk? Do you know why you haven't grown? It's because you're not using your skills. You're not discerning between good and evil.
Yep.
It's just whatever.
Yep.
It's all good. Hey, that's the way it is with a baby. They don't care. They just lay there and flail around. But when you start using your skills, you need some sustenance. You need some meat. Hey, we need to grow. And more than ever in this day and age, we need people in the pews that are able to discern both good and evil. It's not just from the platform. It's not just from the staff. It's from the people learning how to discern good and evil. In this area of service, we must serve God His way. Learn to do well. I tell this to the young people, and maybe even said it to them last time I was here. I love there. Josiah was just 8 years old. Just 8 years old when he did that which was right in the sight of God. Just eight. Just such a young... Man, I think about that. How are we sometimes grown adults and we don't do that which is right in the sight of God? That which is right in the sight... We must learn to do well. I like the verse there in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. It says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding." Child doesn't understand much. And they don't need to. They have no desire to even understand. It goes on to say, "Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." That's a mouthful of a verse right there. "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." Hey, be adults.
Amen.
That's what it's saying there. In understanding what the will of the Lord is, be an adult. Don't be a child. But in the area of malice, see, we have it backwards now. In the area of malice, we're adults. Oh yeah, we hold grudges. Someone doesn't shake our hand. Someone doesn't smile at us. Pastor picks this green carpet and oh my goodness. Well, we got a grudge. That's being a child in understanding. The Bible tells us to be an adult in understanding and a child in malice. Not holding these grudges, not desiring a vengeance. An area we must do well in the area of service, but not only in the area of service to God. I see here in this passage in the area of submission to God. Look there in verse number 5. Three areas we must do well in this morning. The area of salvation, the area of service, and the area of submission. Look in verse number 5. The Bible says, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen?" Boy, an area that we must do well in, this area of submission to God. Cain brought his offering to God. It was not what God wanted. And his countenance fell. And the Lord came to Cain and said unto him, "Why art thou wroth?" You know what this was? This was an opportunity for Cain to get it right. It was a second chance. "Well, why art thou wroth?" Well, listen, I told you what to bring. You know what to bring. You know what your parents have brought for years. And boy, that's a whole other study we won't get into. But he knew what was right. He knew what he was supposed to do. It's not by accident that Abel brought the right sacrifice. Cain knew what was right, and he blatantly decided to do what he wanted to do. And the Lord came to him and said, why are you getting upset at God because you're not bringing the right sacrifice? Why are you getting upset at God because He's not blessing your life because you're disobeying Him? God comes to us and says, why art thou wroth? I told you what to bring. Why is your countenance fallen? I told you what was... It's an opportunity for us to submit to God. Submit to the sovereign authority of God. Listen, here's the bottom line, folks. God's not going to change His word for us. God will not change His word for us. Listen, it says in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. And when we come, listen, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And when God comes to us and says, hey, why are you doing that? Why are you wroth? Why is that going on? You know, it's an opportunity for me to get right. He's not going to say, oh, well, Brother Pete, you have a good heart. I love that statement. Well, you have a good heart. Well, he's got a good heart. He's out committing fornication and adultery. Well, he's got a good heart. That's what we say. That's how we justify it today. God's not going to change His word for me. He's going to give me an opportunity to get it right. To submit to God. Hey, go ahead. Go ahead. Dress like that. Listen to the rock music. Go out into the world. Wreck your life. God's not going to change His word.
That's right.
For any of us. Pride. It's our pride. It was Cain's pride. That he would not submit to God and what He told him to do. And we're just trying to be accepted. We're too cool. We're too cool to walk the aisle, get down on our knees and weep a few tears. That's humbling. It's humbling getting right with God. How in the world do you think it's going to be one day when we stand before Him? A few moments and a few tears at this altar. It'll make a big difference. When we stand before Him one day. Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? It's an opportunity for us to submit to God. In the process of time, boy, preacher, we're going to hear some preaching. I was traveling, I think I was going through Georgia there, and I was preaching, I think that Wednesday, and we got in early to spend some time, and well, I heard a message that Sunday night. Whew, nailed me. At first I was like, thank you, dear Lord, for speaking to me, but I had to spend a few minutes at the altar. Because in the process of time, in each and every one of our lives, if we're saved, the Holy Spirit's going to convict us of some things. He ought to be. I hope He is. Get right when God convicts. Submit to Him. Submit in the process of time. Don't harden your heart as Cain did. He hardened his heart, and then he wanted to take out those around him that were doing right. And that's exactly what happens. The folks in the pew, they hear the messages from the pastor, and or they really can't do anything to him because, you know, well, they try, but it's not working. And then they just go to the people. They take a walk with the people like Cain did. Say, well, I did this, and then the pastor, and he preached this message, and really the whole... What they're saying when they say that junk to you... is God convicted me and I'm not going to get right. And they're just trying to drag you down with them. And if you don't, then they're going to burn you too. Just like they did the pastor, just like they did this family and that family, until they're worn out and they finally leave. Hey, get right when God... Don't let that pride sneak in there. Cain brought what he wanted. Abel brought what God wanted. Quit doing what you want to do and just submit. Submit to God. It's an opportunity for submission. Three areas we must learn to do well in. The Bible says there, Genesis 4, verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Listen, this morning, if you're in here, maybe salvation is your area that you haven't done well in. Get saved. Put your complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing He's going to accept. Maybe it's the area of service. Maybe there's some for the time you ought to be teachers. Maybe there's some areas of service that you've been avoiding, that you've been running from. God spoke to your heart. Hey, grow up. Grow up. Maybe there's some areas in our life, boy, where God's convicted. And God's pointed out some things. And He says, hey, get right in this area. I can't use you until you get right in this area. How many times has He reached down on our life and desired to use us, but because we're a filthy vessel, He's put us back on the shelf. Hey, get right when God convicts. Whatever area it may be, if thou doest well, we will be accepted. Father, I thank You, Lord, this morning for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Father, I thank You for the promise